Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and happy Saturday to you. It's a Mother's Day weekend, and the TMGS wants to say happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. I know it's, you know, tomorrow, but let's not just look at Sunday. Let's look at the whole weekend to honor the mothers of the world. You know, not for mothers. We would not exist. God did them. Amazing thing, didn't he? Okay. Hey, this is Michael Gay. We're broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 6:04 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:04 p.m. on the West Coast. And today is the 13th, 2023. I don't know what time it is in other countries, but I'll probably give you an update shortly. All right, so today we have a few topics that we're going to talk about in politics, in sports. Oh, yeah, sports is very important right now. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. And crime, we're going to talk about that, too. As you know, this is the variety show, TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. Now, I want to let you guys know that the lady of the house, for those of you that normally listen in, Janet Davis, I'm sorry, did I say that right? It's Janet Pollock. Hawkins Davis probably would not be able to join us because, thankfully, you know, which is very great, her family is going to take her out to Mother's Day dinner this evening. And she told me that, you know, she'll do her best to try to, you know, chime in whenever she can, you know. But I truly appreciate Janet. She's been my right hand ever since I've been doing this stuff, you know what I'm saying, for many years. So I truly appreciate her. And sometimes you got to take a break. And I understand that many of the co-hosts that have been on this show, some have come and gone, but things that there's some that are still here. But many of them are really, really doing some great things. They're just really, you know, at the timing of our show, some live in other states, 3-hour, you know, difference and everything, you know, and I get it and I understand it. And that's why I appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that they find the time, they make the time when they're available, you know, to be here on this panel. So I'm just honored and blessed. In fact, speaking of one, here's one who's waved his hand. The one, the only, Mr. Officer Crenshaw. Happy Saturday, my brother. How you doing, man?
Happy Saturday. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm hanging in here, my brother. I'm almost by myself. I thank you for chiming in because everybody else, I mean, you know, they got things going on, and that's a blessing, to be honest.
Well, they got things, you know, hey, I know I'm not here all the time, and Janet's your mm-hmm. right hand, but I can be your left testicle, and that's okay.
Now, I don't want you to be the testicle. Now, that's a little bit too personal. That's way down south.
I don't mind. That just means I'm important to you. I don't mind. It just means I'm important to you.
Okay, my left testicle. That's funny. I like that. But, you know, I mean, you know, as I said, you know, and I don't really want to get into this. Not saying it's wrong to get into, but I've been blessed to have some great co-hosts, and some folks may think, oh, well, you know, what's going on? What's going on? No, I mean, there's some that are still co-hosts. Say, for instance, like Denise L. Wilkinson. You know, I chat with her from time to time. But you know what was so amazing? That when the Ladies of Sky, and actually the entire group Sky, reunited not too long ago in New York, it blew up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, after 30 years, they got back together in New York and did a show there. And now these ladies are over in Europe touring now. Isn't that amazing? They're in Europe now. You know, and that's a blessing, looking at the fact that they had some of the most major iconic hit songs over the years. And once that whole band got together and did that venue, what I'm looking at, where all of a sudden the phone is ringing, you know what I mean? Oh, we want the Ladies of Sky here. I look at their social media pages, and, you know, here they are here and there, and I talk to Denise from time to time, you know, when she's not rehearsing or performing or whatever, and she's like, Michael, it's amazing how folks are reaching out to this iconic group. Now, here's the thing. I want to get through the political stuff. I really do, because Janet sends all that stuff. But let's chit-chat about that for a moment, and then we'll get into the music thing. But did you see where Donald Trump actually had a town hall meeting with CNN?
Yes.
Are you aware of that?
Yes. Wow. Yeah, I think they had that, you know, everybody's bitching because CNN gave him a platform. But in a sense,
right, I heard that.
They set him up. They set him up because they know he can't help himself. They're not going to go out the way Fox did. They're not going to go all the way to the lawsuit thing. They're going to kick him off the bus while the bus is rolling. They set him up.
Well, you know, you may have a point there. Well, the thing is, it's not where they set him up. He set himself up. I kind of wonder, how did that whole plan went down? Did he say, I want to go on CNN, or did CNN go to him? I mean, I haven't heard anything how that whole town hall was set up. We just know that it happened. And then we do know that there was many of Trump supporters at the meeting, right? But
right.
CNN is fake news. You know that, right?
Yeah.
CNN is fake news. MSNBC is fake news. In fact, anybody that does not agree with Donald Trump, that's a fake news. But why would you go to the fake news to sit up here and say the same thing and rehash the same crap? Because after you have been not only indicted on many charges, found guilty on this other sexual thing, okay, why would you go to the fake news, sit there and talk to them? You understand my question?
Sympathy and empathy is what he wants from his supporters right now. He don't want them to look at him as a pervert. He wants sympathy and empathy, you know, to win them all. Well, you know, we've all done something we shouldn't have done at certain points in times, you know, and we all lie. You know, he wants sympathy and empathy. You know, but
so
the bottom
by him
line
going on Fox News, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm just going to ask you this. So by him going to his nemesis of news broadcasters, which is CNN, he throws MSNBC on the bus, you know, every now and then. But CNN was his main thing. So right now he's looking for getting empathy by going to CNN and doing this town hall.
He still wants a broad platform. And he knows that most people look at the news, no matter what channel it is, as only telling half of it, not telling all of it. So he go to CNN because more people watch CNN, and he wants a broader audience for sympathy.
Well, when you say more people watching CNN, I mean, that's a debate I'm sure that Reese Hopkins or anybody else would say, you know, that no, not necessarily so. But either way, whether – you know,
you
got to
remember, CNN not only gives the news, they give the sports, they give it all, and it's not at one particular time.
No, but I mean, and you're definitely on point. But here's the thing, that where when it comes to politics, you know, CNN has been labeled as the liberal channel, right? And then, of course, Fox News. And here's the things that were. People look at CNN, Fox, MSNBC. There's many other channels out there, OLN and a host of others, that pretty
you
much.
You just said it, though, Mike. You just said it. You just said the liberal. And that's who he wants to appeal to, because – the Democrats are saying, hell no, and the Republicans are saying, what the fuck? So if he can get some of the Republicans and the liberals.
But now you said that you saw this town hall, right? And you saw how he attacked the host, right? And said that he called her a nasty host and everything. And they had some issues in the past. But as it's been reported and according to what has been said, the majority of people that attended that, because, of course, Donald Trump is going to let his base know where he's going to be and what he's doing, right? So they're going to be in attendance to support him, correct? There's not going to be a Democrat or whatever. But this is CNN is considered a liberal channel. The point I'm saying is that where here's a former president who's going through all these litigations, recently been found guilty of a particular crime towards a woman, and he goes on and goes to a quote-unquote liberal channel, and he disrespected the host and said, well, you're a nasty woman to me. I mean, it's like most individuals who get their back pushed up against the wall, they find a way of, you know, of pushing back, but not with a disrespect towards the individual in the way that he did it. To me, when he said, well, you're a nasty individual.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter anymore because they did interviews with sophomores in college, and those sophomores said one of them said they support Trump because he speaks his mind, and he's able to say things that he normally wouldn't be able to say, and they like that because that's putting them to where they can say the things that they normally wouldn't be able to say. And they're following
that. Okay, but you speak your mind, right?
So him saying, oh, you're a nasty woman, that's people looking at him just saying, okay, he's not being a true politician and being tactful about his words and his language. He's just letting it all hang.
Okay.
He's still trying to appeal to that radical side, young and old. You got a lot of old people who don't speak their mind the way they want to. A lot of young people that don't speak their mind the way that they want to. I speak my mind, but I say it in a very tactful manner.
And that's the point I'm trying to get to, right? You have to be professional if you're a professional person. Now, if you have a personal thing, or if you don't like what a person is saying, you don't have to be rude. Now, by him saying you're a nasty person, I think that's kind of rude because you're talking to a woman who's interviewing you, and it's not the first time they've had cross each other's path. And she was not disrespectful to him. She just asked a question as a reporter. But him being a man and being the guy that he is, but I have to say this, being Donald Trump, folks are going to cheer and all that type of stuff on him saying, well, you're a nasty woman. To me, I think that's not being professional. By you being the so-called billionaire, the way that she questioned him, go ahead.
No, I'm saying it's not professional. But if you go back
it's
in time, which is what they're trying to do, you know, women supposedly knew their place and they didn't interrupt men.
Okay.
Back in time. So him saying
back
you're a nasty
50s,
woman
right.
because she called him out on some of his questions, you know, she
that's
interrupted him
right.
as he was trying to answer those questions. You know, what he really wanted to say, he couldn't. So you're a nasty woman. Because he believed women supposed to walk behind him. Not next to him, not in front of him. And if you ever noticed, when he was president, walking with his wife, they very seldom held hands. And they was at least a person apart from each other.
Well,
he wanted the attention.
Well, hold on. You brought up a good point. Some folks would be like, oh, that's minor. But we do all see that that legendary, it's going to be legendary in my opinion. But you can't forget the time when he reached for her hand and she swiped his hand away when they got off of Air Force One. Okay, so obviously there was something going on, right?
Well, that was the Stormy thing, remember?
Right. You know,
so I wouldn't hold his hand either.
Let me ask you this. Of all the first ladies over the years, do you recall one that has been so silent, more so than Donald Trump's wife? I mean, she did try with what was her thing that they tried to give her? Be best. But even during that time, I don't recall her really being out in public much. Now, I'm not saying that Jill Biden is out there a lot. I see her pop up every now and then for certain things. She do attend certain events, right? But
right.
I will go ahead. But then what I'm going to do, I'm going to be fair here, is that where, okay, so first lady for Donald Trump, pretty much in the background. Only thing she had was be best. We do see what had occurred where she had pretty much embellished, or not embellished, but what is that term when she took all the speech from Michelle Obama and pretty much, you know, used that. All right, so she was called out on that. But then now, everybody on the right is saying, well, okay, y'all got us on that a little bit. But where's your vice president? Meaning Kamala. How come we don't see her? But when have you really seen a vice president, you know, talking to the people? You follow me? Because I didn't see Mike Pence a lot when he was vice president.
Right. You didn't hear a lot about what he was doing either.
And I'm saying on Democrat or Republican side, even when, well, Biden, when he was the vice president, you saw him a little bit more based on the fact that what was happening, you know, at that point in time in the country. But then you look at former vice presidents, they pretty much just hung on the cut. They were giving some kind of a duty, but they really didn't have a lot of say so. Right? They didn't do a lot of appearances. But what's your thoughts on that?
You're right. I mean, the majority of them don't. You know, vice president.
Right.
They might
really
step out every now and then, but you normally hear a little bit more about the first lady than you do the vice president. You hadn't really heard anything about Trump's wife other than, you know, the thing that she got called out on, like you said, and what they was trying to get her to do, and her what was it, a designer line or something? Clothes designer line or something. That's it. You know, what about, you know, helping the needy and the children? I didn't hear a lot about that. I could be wrong, but I didn't hear a lot about that.
Only thing I heard that she said, be best. And be best was a campaign they were putting together as far as bullying, you know, online bullying and this kind of other towards kids in school and everything, which does exist, which we need to talk about and really address. Look at what's going on now with the internet where you do know this of making it where you
that
have to be a certain
mute,
age.
That was a mute situation, though, if they were talking about bullying, because, hell, her husband was the biggest damn bully.
Right, we know that. You know, but that's the thing that's going on now with that. But now, I don't want to get off this whole topic twisted. By him coming on, then I'm going to shift gears, and going on CNN, was that a plus for him or a minus in your opinion? Because now, I have to say this, based on some of the things that he's been saying when he's doing these interviews and when he's doing these rallies and everything, it's being said that hold on a minute, I want to get my information right, please give me a minute here.
I'll just say it. That was a minus for him. You know, the Lord tells you sometimes to be still. That also, you know, replies to shut up. You know, you can tell a lie over and over and over again. You know, yeah, negative.
Right, what I'm saying.
Because you can tell a lie over and over and over again till you start believing that lie is the truth. But then when you're lying so much, one lie becomes part of another lie and you get caught up in it.
You can't link the trail. Right. Yeah, and that's always been said. You know, you have to tell a lie. And when you keep lying, it becomes a link of where you lose track of your lies. True. Thing is, I'm trying to pull this up. I'm sorry. This article here. So, based on what he said after the conviction he got with this case with E. Jean Carroll, she is looking at suing Trump again for a third time, according to CNN. Now, I'm gonna always say where the information comes from. Everybody has a different perspective of the information. And you know Reese Hopkins, Reese and I talk to each other from time to time now. He's like, well, Michael, you need the research, isn't it? And my whole thing is that I can look at everybody's posts about a topic or everything. And, you know, you're not going to go with one network, but there's so many out there, right? Who can you really believe? MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, OLN, the list goes on and on and on. Who can you really believe as far as the information that you're getting of the situation? You understand what I mean? It's like, let's say research. You can go to Google. Google's just going to connect you with, you know, not just the major networks, but thousands of individuals who have a point of view. So who can you really believe? Yeah. I'm just being honest.
Right.
Who the hell can you really believe?
All right.
Are they in bed with each other? Like, well, look, you know, this is Fox News, OLN, you know, you and I are cool. But people think that we're separate. So what we're going to do, we're going to make them think that this is our opinion and this is yours, but we're going to make sure that they agree with the both of us. You follow me? I mean, you can't believe everything you hear by any source. In my opinion, you take in what's the reality of what you see and hear. If you see something, let's say if they show a video of whatever, of a complication and everything, and then you listen to certain things, fine. But just word of mouth, you really don't know. You really don't. And you're not going to know because that's what the government does. It protects themselves from you knowing the truth. Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely. They're not going to let you know all the truth.
Mm-mm. I don't know. I don't recall who it was that said this to me, and I found that so interesting and so amazing. Every candidate that runs for president, of course, we all know that once you get to a certain level, you're going to get Secret Service. You know, your house is going to be protected, your kids, your family, everything. And when you finally get behind those walls, and they know you're going to be the president, now you got to be briefed by the military. You and I don't know all the shit that goes on behind those walls. Point. When you become the most powerful individual in the world, because this is America, the president of the United States is supposed to be the most powerful individual in the world. When they go to brief your ass, I'm pretty sure almost every president, was like, what the hell? Because they never knew this. You follow me? They never knew what was really going on. They read the conspiracy theories and all this type of crap. But once you are the commander-in-chief, now you know the real deal. Think about how come the president goes great. Think about how every president goes great in a less than a year, you know, because the fact that it's not from his wife, because he doesn't see his wife much. He's not stressed out by the wife. He's stressed out for the fact that he's seeing some stuff that he had no clue. I'm sorry, but go ahead. But doesn't that make sense?
No, I was just wondering what makes a person want to become president of the United States? Because I wouldn't want Secret Service following me around everywhere I go. You know, I wouldn't want to have to worry about the threat of somebody assassinating me or trying to take me out or, you know, all this traveling to visit these foreign leaders and, you know, all of that. Yeah. I wouldn't.
And, of course, your family. You don't want your family to be involved. But I guess that's the love for the country, as they say, of seeing where, you know, they were dealing with this and the other. And that's a good question. But the only thing I can say is that where they have a love for the country and they feel like they can be a hero at some point in time with their knowledge and experience and hopefully change, you know, what's going on in America. But America's not going to change. That's my opinion. America is not going to change. And you know why? Because America does not want to own up to its faults. America will never own us to its mistakes and its faults. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah. They have a love for their country.
Well,
they have a love for their country. A lot of those senators and congressmen have been in that arena damn near all their life. And the majority of them are saying, hell no, I'll stay where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
You got people coming in from the bottom of that arena, new senators, new congressmen, people off the street. Hell, Mike Pence had nothing to do with politics before Donald Trump selected it. He was just some type of preacher.
Here's the thing that I look at is that where you have individuals who run for office and never been in the military, but they have a say-so regarding the military, right? I don't think you should. If you've never experienced, and some folks that might be listening be like, well, Mike, you know, no. If you've never dealt with being in the military, you should not be on that panel when it comes to our military. You shouldn't.
I agree.
Feel that.
And
now,
that was
here's the thing.
The way I was raised.
Now, here's the thing. Even if you have never served in the military, maybe you need to take some classes or something and learn it before you request to be part of it and making the decision.
How can you ask somebody to do something that you've never done, you know, yourself, that you don't have any experience or knowledge pertaining to it, or that you're not able to do yourself or willing to do yourself?
Correct. Right. See, that's the problem. And you said all the key factors. No experience, no knowledge, no willingness. But you want to tell folks how to do it. That makes no damn sense at all to me. You want to tell the folks who've done all that how to do it, but you've never done it. Problem with our country right now, to a certain extent, we're doing the same doctrine. We're still doing the same thing. We're telling folks, hey, you know, do what I say, not what I do. Believe what I'm telling you. You don't know shit. If this, you know. Problem is that, I just have to say this real quick. I think I've said this before on the show. I remember a company I used to work for, there was like 10, 12 folks that came through the store, walking the store. There was one guy in the whole group. I'll tell you, it was Home Depot. And they have this cart called a cutting cart. Open to the freaking public, y'all. And it's over on the aisle where the trim is. Officer Crenshaw, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
As the group was walking through, the one guy said, hey, there's somebody over there cutting some wood. I'm like, okay. Can you go help him? Because that's supposed to be us doing it. I said, no. It's open for the customer. He said, I said, wait a minute. You don't know that? Well, no, I thought that we just do all that. Now, on the major saws, of course, the customer cannot turn on the damn saws. They have locks on them. They have combinations where a customer can't just go over there and just cut their own wood on, like, the radio arm saw and the, you know, board saw. But just to have a saw on a table saw, it was an issue. But in my mind, I'm looking at this one dude, and I'm thinking, how the hell you work at corporate, and you don't know what the basic shit happens inside of a store? How do you work at corporate? Do you shop at the store? You've never walked into a Home Depot store and never seen this before. You follow me, Crenshaw?
Yeah.
How the hell are you in the corporate position and you don't even know the minor shit that goes on inside of a store? Where the company has said, okay. That was that right there blew me away. And this was years ago. And I'm like, wow.
That happened to me, Mike, when I was
like this.
Over at Lowe's. You know, cutting pipe. One of the managers walked up and said, I need you to go over there and cut the pipe. And I was dealing with a customer at the time. I said, well, when I finish with this customer, you know, I'll go over there. He said, well, I know I've done it before, but I'm not sure how to turn the machine on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what the hell? You're going to cut pipe, thread pipe, you know, and then he went and pulled out galvanized pipe for gas lines.
Mm.
I said, no, that's water pipe. You need black iron pipe for gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to thread it and cap it so that the grooves are right, the threads on it are right, or else it's going to leak.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
I won't, but you're a store manager.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, to be honest,
yeah.
I know there will never be a point of where a store manager knows how to do everything inside the store. The only problem I have is that when some store managers try to override the people who do have knowledge, and when you prove them to be ignorant, they get defensive. No. Lick your wounds and move on. You follow me? I mean, you got some people in a lot of, and not just, I mean, I've seen it, I've done it, you know this. I've seen where individuals who work for certain stores and this and the other have a lot of great knowledge, like yourself. But then management wants to embarrass you in order to make themselves look good. You follow me? Because what you're doing, you're sharing the knowledge. The customer's mad, blah, blah, blah. But then the management wants to turn around and say that you were wrong. But no, you were right. You follow me? That happens all the time. Management's trying to cover their ass or either just make you look like an asshole. Unfortunately, that's what happens. You there?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike. I'm sorry. I had a call come in.
No, I'm sorry. I noticed that my phone looked like dark, and I said, oh, hold on, let me click it. But you understand what I'm saying. You know, and that happens too much. And it frustrates an employee who really, like, I've worked with you, and I know you have a lot of knowledge and a lot of things. But here's where companies have to look at. Hiring a bunch of kids is not going to solve your problem.
Right.
Hiring, you know, and I've heard some individuals say, well, when we hire older folks, they don't have the patience because customers ask stupid questions. Yes, customers do. Bear and grin is my whole thing. Don't always make where the customer's always right. If you got a guy who's retired from a plumber and he decides to do a part-time job at your establishment, don't fire him.
Right.
Let him do the job. Let him educate people. Hello. Because you're going to have some stupid asses going to be in there. No, I don't think that's right. And I'm like, have you ever been a plumber? You ever been an electrician? I've been doing this for 30 years. So tell me something I don't know. But you came up and asked me a question. And companies need to take that same initiative of where if you want to teach the customers, put some of these veterans in there. These customers will learn. Oh well, you upset him. Everything. No. And many individuals who do come to these type of stores quit due to the fact that the company takes the customers, you know, complaint to heart more than looking at the fact. Hey, I was trying to tell them that you can't use this. They want to argue with me. I don't have time to argue. And I walked away. You can't walk away. That's not good customer service. What, I'm supposed to stand here and argue? That's bullshit. And that's the sadness of what happens. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
And I see it all the time. You've seen it. But companies are like, they don't want to, you know, address it. If I was an individual that worked for a major company, one thing I would do, of course, you know, if I had really a lot of say so as far as in the storefront, of course I'm going to make it great for the customers. But I will make it very clear to the customers, don't doubt my staff. If you do, go somewhere else. Don't argue. But see what happens now, companies hire a bunch of young kids that don't know stuff. They just want bodies on the floor. Allegedly customer service, and they don't know shit. And that's a fact. Companies say, oh, we done hired 1,000 folks for this region or this and that and the other. Okay, do they have any background, any kind of experience? No, we just got bodies. And those bodies ain't doing a damn thing for the company. They're not. They're making the companies lose money. Look at Walmart. Walmart is shutting down stores because they're losing money. Not for the fact that many of their stores have been burnt down, in which you already know here in Georgia alone, Three stores were burnt down. Three stores.
Yeah.
They only rebuilt one. And the only reason why they rebuilt that one, because that's the only grocery store, multi-store in that location of Atlanta, right? But I did my research and looked at where these stores aren't the only ones. There are stores around the country that have been set on.
Right.
Makes no sense. Makes no damn sense. Really doesn't. Okay, so let me change the topic. It's 6:46 p.m. here on the East Coast, and I apologize. I took a bite of a lunch that I bought. I was going down the road, and I saw this cat that had this big, large smoker grill. And I was like, you know, and it's that time of year. I love barbecue. Crenshaw, this brother got cabbage, mac and cheese, barbecue ribs, jerk barbecue ribs, chicken. And I was like, okay, I got a chicken. Oh, peas and rice. And I was like, okay, let me grab a plate. Man, off the chain. So I got to give him a shout out, Mr. Jones. I know he's listening. Man, this stuff is good. I'll see you next Saturday. He's on the corner. He's on the corner of Ford Road and Veterans Memorial in Mapleton, Georgia. You know, he's got his music pumping. But on the, right there with the, I think you know where the, there was a crystal there. No. He's right there. There's a bottle shop there, but there's a QT right across the street. He parks in the bottle shop's parking lot. And he's smoking every Saturday. You roll down your window. Okay. He's got a Jeep. His wife has her own Jeep. You know, and they're cool folks, man. And he's got his music bumping. And I was like, let me check this out. $20 a plate. But let me tell you, man, this is a big plate. I got four bones. It's off the chain. But anyway, enough about my lunch/dinner. Okay, so let me ask you this. Jeff, this thing with E. Jean Carroll, the one who won the thing against Donald Trump, let's just kind of wrap that up there, okay? He wasn't accused of rape, right?
Right.
He was accused of a lighter sentence, but they're saying here that she might try to sue him for a third time. You think she'd be successful on that based on what she said, what he said after the verdict?
I think she would, because she won this one, and then the next day he was defaming her again. And, you know, it's a shame that people have to make up stuff, you know. And I understand how a rape victim's mind works, you know, dealing with them for so many years. You know, it's a fear going through them of retaliation of some sort, you know, as well as the fact that they're wondering, well, what did they do to make this person think it was okay to do this?
Right.
But I think she ought to. You know, you had a lot of police officers who started filing lawsuits like this because people were just coming in and filing complaints because they didn't like police. You know, internal affairs would investigate. They would clear the officer. And nothing will be said other than that complaint being in the officer's file. So in order for that officer to get that complaint out of his file, they started filing defamation lawsuits against the people filing the false complaints. That was the only way to get it removed out of their file. Once they, you know, won the defamation lawsuit, you know, then they can take that back to Internal Affairs and say, look, I told you this wasn't true. I don't need that in my file to hurt me if I'm trying to move up or go to another job. Take it out.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So, after I ask you this. I know during your career, well, I'm not going to say I know. Let me ask you, towards the end of your career, you spent over 20 years, you did have, or did you have, you know, the cameras? Did you ever have to wear a camera?
No, I did 27 and a half years with Atlanta, and they were fitting for the body cameras and stuff when I left. We had cameras in the cars. We had them in the cars, but because they didn't have the money, they were trying to outfit everybody for body cameras and stuff. But
right.
They were going through a testing procedure. They were trying to find hats and glasses and all type of shit, you know. And it would work, except for the fact that if I'm standing facing you, talking to you, and I hear gunshots behind me, and I turn and look to see what's going on, my head's turned, not my body. I see you run. I see somebody running with a gun, so I draw my gun. I mean, Atlanta went through, they went overboard trying to do shit, and then they finally just went back to the basic body cameras. They had a camera to where when your gun comes out of the holster, the camera comes on, you know, ball caps, glasses. They had all type of crap, you know, but by the time you...
Right.
You know, you chasing somebody, running through the woods, the tree branch swipes your hat, you don't have a camera, you know, and then it can hurt a lot of officers, it can help a lot of officers. But all they saw was, I'm being recorded, you don't trust me. Well, when cops rolled with me back in the 90s, I knew I wasn't doing shit wrong, so I wasn't running, I wasn't afraid of the cameras. And that's how you have to be. You do what you're supposed to do, and you don't worry about the cameras. You know, now everybody has a cell phone. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, it don't matter whether they got a cell phone or not. If you're on a crime scene and they walk up recording, hey, it's okay if you record, but do you mind if you just take a couple of steps back so you don't break the perimeter of the crime scene? You can stand right there and record everything I'm doing. That's fine. But you got to be up, put the cameras away. Put the cameras away, you know.
Yeah, I've seen that. Turn your camera off. Turn your phone off. And by law, I mean, you're allowed to record, right?
Right. Well, I mean, they don't yell like that at the media when they run up with that big-ass camera on their shoulder, so they shouldn't yell at nobody else.
That's damn true. You got that right. Unless they have the intention of doing something that is not correct. That's the only thing I can look at.
Well, even if they're not, they just don't want to, most officers don't want to be on camera, you know, because they know the upper echelon is going to pick over it. You know, oh, you were smoking a cigarette. You know you're not supposed to smoke in a crime scene. You had a Coca-Cola in your hand. What the hell were you doing? So they just don't want to be on camera, you know. But just simply do what you're supposed to do and don't worry about it. Right, oh, Crenshaw, you were smoking out there. Yeah, the urge hit me and I fired it up.
Okay.
I didn't drop my butt on the scene. I smashed my ash out and I put my butt in my pocket like I was taught in the military. I didn't contaminate the
plane. I never heard that before, you know, what you just said. You know, but the things that were... You know, there's certain procedures of where, or certain things that officers are not supposed to do, you know, in public on duty, right?
Right.
So that's interesting. That's interesting.
Well, it's just like if you have a crime scene, you got officers should be performing CPR of some sort, but they're not. They're standing around talking. You know, I learned a long time ago, that person you think is dead right there, even though they're gone, their pulse is gone, they can still hear every damn thing you're saying. Because I've had a few people come back and say, man, I heard you. You know, I heard what you were saying, and I appreciate it. You know, it's what made me come back. You know, they're not completely gone, you know, unless you walk up on them and they stink, and then you know they're gone.
Right. Wow. So that's interesting. So let me share something real quick. I know I'm changing gears here, but this is what happened this evening, you guys. Just hour, in fact, maybe 45 minutes before I had already set up and programmed the show to come on tonight, okay? And I get a phone call from the president of the NAACP here in Cobb County, Georgia. And she's like, hey, look, I got some tickets for you to go check out this concert. You want them? Got to be two people. I'm like, what the hell? Who are they talking about? Will Downing and like three, four other folks. I haven't seen it. And I'm like, what the? Now, keep in mind, I've already scheduled the show, right, Officer Crenshaw? I'm like, well,
right.
Like, well, if I can get someone else to go, is that okay? They say, yeah, that's cool. You know, now, to be honest, I was going to, you know, just do an hour and just cut the show short and go, because it's right down the street. You know where Maple House is.
Yeah.
And I reached out to, a lady friend of mine, she's busy doing something else with friends and everything. So like, why did they call you earlier? I'm like, I don't know why. And so called another lady friend of mine. She's like, well, I'm at the beauty parlor right now, getting my hair done. Let me call you back. I'm like, okay. But in the meantime, I ain't got no answer. Well, just now I got a phone call. And guess what I did, Crenshaw? I didn't answer it.
Okay.
Because of the fact of where I already called the person back who offered the tickets and said, hey, look, I'm just going to go ahead and do the show. But the one individual I called that was at the beauty parlor called me back. I'm thinking she's probably going to say, I want to go. I'll call her later. I'm going to do a music break and call back and see what's going on in a minute, okay? All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick music break momentarily. And I'm going to make this phone call here. But honestly, I don't really plan on going to the concert. I'm pretty sure the tickets are still available. But when we come back, and I know there's a lot of politics I could talk about, but I don't want to get into all that. What I really want to talk about is the amazing thing of these rappers being murdered. I don't know if you guys ever really did the research and looked at how many rappers have died by gunshot. You know, I started thinking about entertainers in the music industry. Think about Michael Jackson. Think about Luther Vandross. Think about Prince. Think about Whitney Houston and a host of others. Many of them passed due to something dealing with drugs, overdose. And not just the black ones. They claimed that, they claim that Elvis Presley died of a heart attack. But Elvis had a heavy drug addiction, right? Many back in the day of our legends, and think about our legends, R&B artist passed due to drug overdose, habitual drug users, but when you look at this group of individuals, these rappers, the list goes on and on and on and on. No one has saw Tupac. No one has saw Biggie, the two biggest rappers of that era. And no one has been sentenced to prison for their murders. And that's that West Coast, East Coast beef that was going on, right? Biggie from the East Coast.
Yeah.
Tupac from the West Coast and everything. But now it's not even West Coast, East Coast. It's just regional. It's neighborhood. And these young cats have come up in their neighborhoods with a style, a spit, you know, whatever you want to call it. And they got followers. Many of them get bigger in their region. They got money. They got all that stuff going on. Next thing you know, they're dead. What the hell is going on with the rap community? Because obviously, as you guys see, it's not ending. Look at the beef and look at the stories that you're hearing. We're going to get back and talk about those and discuss those because I'm kind of curious. Not kind of. I'm very disturbed of here's this black culture, black individuals who are making tons of money for themselves or whoever, and sharing this, they're spitting these rhymes of what they call reality of my life, whatever they want to say. And they're dying. They're dying. It makes no sense. It really doesn't. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm trying to pull up something. Real quick, let me try to pull this one up real quick. I'm sorry, you guys. As I'm talking, trying to pull up a track real quick, okay? I should have had this mm-hmm. set up beforehand. But real quick, as I look for this, Crenshaw, do you have a concern about that? Does that bother you? I'm pretty sure it does.
It does. But, I mean, it's starting to become the norm. And that's
exactly
what bothers me, you know, is that...
Me too.
Everybody is trying to get ahead, you know. Instead of being satisfied with being number two and the best
mm-hmm.
number two that you can be, you know, they trying to be number one by any means. You know, if I can't be number one through my music, boom, I'll take him out and now I'll be number one. But be the best number two that you can be. Be content. Be happy. You know. Live life. Enjoy
yeah.
life. Because when you get to be number one, now the number two that took your place is going to take you through the same thing. And everybody's on damn edge. You know?
Right. Let me do this music break real quick, and we're going to come back. The topic we're on right now is, and I'm going to read you guys a list. It is saddening to read this, to be honest, and when I looked at it, of these regional rappers, national rappers, who are dead and gone. The youngest I found was 18. The oldest was 44. We're going to talk about it when we come back here on the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. stay tuned, please. If you're in the chat room or if you're listening on the internet, go to the chat room. You can type and you can post questions, share your comments. I will read them on the air, and that will be www.blogtalkradio.com/TMZS, or you can call the show live and join the conversation. 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. After this quick music break, we'll be right back. This is 3TOB with Trading Places. Thank you. TMGS, it's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And that was 3TOB, the original band. And for you guys that don't know, those cats right there, you guys know about Tony, 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 right? Tony, 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 great Raphael Sadiq. But actually, it was a full band. And if you have the time and you don't know the story, go to YouTube and look at the video, Loyalty, No Royalty. Interesting documentary. But these cats, the original band are together as 3TOB. Great album. Go to 3TOB.com. Download it. I'm telling you, download it. I love it. I'm going to be honest. I love it. These cats are awesome. All right, back to the show, back to the topic. And what we were talking about was rappers, the beef among rappers. And it's gone on for decades now, for decades. And it seems like it's going to continue. And to me, it's very disturbing. Extremely disturbing. Because let me go ahead and pull this up real quick, you guys. This really is interesting to me. Let me hit the information that I have here. Oh, that's not the right one. What I'm looking for, Officer Crenshaw, you're aware of this. What's going on? All of us know that, you know, Tupac, dead. Biggie, dead. Who did it? I don't know. But these murders among these artists, like I said, they were regional individuals, and some became national artists. But what is the chemistry here? I mean, what's going on here? If I said that, where, you know, you look at your R&B artists, drug overdoses. Here, your rap artist, murdered, shot dead. I've said this more than once, I've never heard a story where a country and western artist had beef with another one and shot them dead. I would say even a rock artist, as much as I hear about R&B and, rap artists, isn't in the lifestyle that they're living, or the individuals who want to live that lifestyle? Because some of them do make the money, right? Some of them, you know,
right,
got millions of dollars based on what they rap about. And I look at the videos, and I'm like, wow, this cat is just walking across the stage, just, you know, he ain't got no background dancers, nothing. He's just walking across the stage spitting, as they say, or used to say, you know, words, and the crowd's going crazy. He's got all this gold on, or all these diamonds on. No, I'm sorry, gold is not even part of the game anymore. It's all diamonds and jewels and this and the other. Next thing I know, shot dead. Huh? What happened? Go back to the lyrics. Go back to the song. Is that what I have to do to understand why his life was taken? I mean, what's your
thought? That's a hard one.
That's a reality. I know it's a hard one, but there's a reality to it now. There's a reality because we do know that in some cases, that's the reality of it, though. You said something about my girlfriend, or that girlfriend slept with that other rapper when he's supposed to be this other rapper's. We know the whole storyline, right? That's a reality. So he goes
well,
and kills them.
The country westerns do, you know. Make a song about it and make money off of it. Don't go kill each other.
But that's the sad part about it. These kids are killing each other. That's the sad part about it. They're killing each other over a song. It says here, gun violence has killed at least one rapper every year since 2018. Not drugs, gun violence. One rapper every year. Do you not find that disturbing? And these are well-known rappers. I'm not talking about the regional ones. Well-known rappers, individuals who you know, were doing things for the community, whatever, great followers. It doesn't matter, but one every year since 2018. Now, that may not seem like a lot, talking about 2018. Sounds like four or five. But one a year is way too many, right, to gun violence. You told me you were in a car accident or maybe an illness, even COVID-19, and I'll be like, damn, that's messed up. The gun violence. What was the drama you all would have? Somebody shot you.
Yeah.
See, those are the things that cross my mind. Was it over a song? Was it over a woman? Was it over some beef? Was it over drugs? What was happening here is what I'm trying to understand. So I'm just asking your opinion. I mean, what is your thoughts on this? This is crazy, man. Like I said, yeah, the legends, unfortunately, and it saddens me, which ones I've mentioned, Michael Jackson, Prince, Whitney Houston, and a host of others, died of drugs. But this new generation rather die of gunshot. Murder. You know. And not saying that the ones who were killed chose to be killed. No, no one chooses to die whatsoever. But then again, depending on what you say to someone in disrespect, because now the code is, don't disrespect me, man. Don't talk about me, man. Don't do that, man. You get hurt. And some individuals continue to do it, and they wind up dead.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your thoughts, Officer Crenshaw? You seen the streets. You know what's going on. I'm just asking. What, I mean, what have you noticed?
Well,
what have you seen over the years?
It's got to be, like you said, it's a respect thing. Because I look at myself as, like, even though I'm retired, you know, in an officer's mindset. Most officers lose control when they feel like they're being disrespected. And that's when they go out of bounds, you know. So maybe it's the same thing with the rappers. When they feel like they're being disrespected, you know, they go out of bounds. They turn to gun violence. Officers end up turning to excessive force and brutality. You know, my thing is, say what you want to say about me. You know, disrespect me all you want, but don't put your hands on me. You know,
right.
If you're not trying to physically harm me, I'm not going to physically harm you.
Right.
And that
and
even includes...
And definitely don't spit at me, because that's a physical contact then.
Right. Well, it is, but it isn't in law enforcement.
Really?
Someone can spit on you, yes. Someone can spit on you, and you have to be able to control your reaction.
But isn't that considered, maybe it's changed
it's
since
the same
not,
as,
I'm sorry. Well, I'm saying
same
is that,
as
I mean, because when COVID-19 came out, that you know, there was a thing of whereby sharing bodily fluids in that manner could be dangerous because you don't know. I mean, and even, you know, today,
well, it could,
if you,
even before then, it could have been dangerous because with HIV and AIDS, you
correct.
Know, if someone spit on you and some of that got in your eye or in your mouth, you know, there's a chance that you could contrast it, you contact it, or whatever I'm trying to say.
Right.
I don't know.
No point.
In an officer's eyes, you have to be able to hold yourself back from that, because even though it's a physical assault, it's not what the supervisors and the upper echelon would look at as a physical assault. So you have to hold back a little. You know, you got people, you put somebody in the car, and while you put them in the car, they spit on you, spit in your face. You know, are you supposed to punch them? Because they're already handcuffed. Are you supposed to pepper spray them? Because they're already handcuffed.
Right.
You know, you got to bag away and then write the charges on them and articulate what they did. Contact your EMTs. Go get tested, you know, for possible AIDS or HIV. You know, but my thing is, that's a spontaneous reaction from every person. When someone spits on you, it doesn't matter what color you are. When someone spits on you, a spontaneous reaction is to react in an aggressive manner towards them because they're considering you dirt, lower than dirt.
Exactly. Exactly. And that was the thing, is that where, because I wonder, which in your law enforcement training, which has been years ago, you've been over 20 years in the force of, I would think it happens a lot more than when you were on the force. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, the response that officers have now, because due to the fact, see, back when you're an officer, we didn't have to worry about, or we weren't thinking about COVID-19 and AIDS and all that type of stuff earlier in the early years. But now, just body fluid contact is scary to a lot of folks. You know what I'm saying? You know?
Right.
You know, it's scary. Go ahead.
It is. And if you just, as an officer, if you just say what you did and why you did it, instead of hiding behind the legal words of, oh, I was in fear of my life, you know, if you just say, well, hell, you know, he did this to me, and just out of a natural reaction, I did that because of it, you're in better shape saying that than you are, oh, once he did this, I was in fear that he was going to try to fight me or take my gun. All that articulation bullshit, just say what you did. Say what happened.
Right. Good point.
You know, somebody spit on you and you slap the dog snot out of them, say it. They spit in my face and I just reacted and smacked them. You know, it was just a reaction. I didn't even have time to think. They spit on me, and I just reacted. Pow! You know?
And it was a total point of disrespect, right? Right. And you didn't expect that. And so,
right.
And it's nasty as well. It's nasty as all get out.
Right.
And I have
and
to
then,
be honest.
And then,
if someone spit
right,
in my face,
say,
I'm sure. No, go ahead.
Right. Then you articulate. You know, after you reacted, I thought about the fact that this person might have had HIV, AIDS, COVID, or whatever. I knew at that point I had to go ahead and get myself tested. Then you put in there all that life-saving shit. You know, that's kind of like throwing the life preserver overboard before anybody fall in the water. You know?
Right. That's a good point.
Which is what
I was going to hit another music track, but I realized that we're at 7:25 p.m. and I really want to get this topic in because I know I was supposed to do this at the 7 o'clock hour, and I apologize for folks that are listening online, but I'm going to get to this topic, and it's about the sports. Oh, real quick, I'll probably have to come to this later on in the future, but based on the rappers, the deaths, let me tell you, I'm looking at, I want to just read this, list of murdered hip-hop musicians. The following is a list of notable hip-hop musicians who have been murdered. A 2015 study concludes that murder was the cause of 51.5% of U.S. hip-hop musician deaths. The study noted that this figure refers primarily to the premature deaths, as most hip-hop musicians have not yet lived long enough to fall into the highest risk ages of heart and liver-related illness. And when I scrolled at this, and I looked at this list earlier, the youngest I saw here was 18. The oldest was 44. Percentage here are just in their 20s. I mean, I'm scrolling through. I mean, real quick, I'm going to say Scott LaRoque, 25, New York City. It says shot and killed. Paul C., 1989. And let me go forward real quick. Tupac Shakur, September 13th, 1996. He was only 25, Las Vegas, Nevada. Okay. The notorious B.I.G. March 9th, 1997. He was 24 years old. Also, he was killed in Los Angeles, right? Then you look at Fat Pack, Big L, Freaky Tom, all of them were in the 90s. And all of them lived in New York. In fact, I'm sorry, Fat Pack was in Houston, Texas, Miami, Florida, DJ Uncle Al, September 10th, 32 years old, Sabotage, January 24th, São Paulo, Brazil, in another country, like, popular there, popular. Soulja Slim, New Orleans, Louisiana, he was 26. Let's see, there's just a list of you guys.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You're my age. You're 60, right?
I'm 61, yes, sir.
Okay. So maybe it's just that they don't know how to fight, that they pull out a gun.
That's probably,
because
yeah.
I know at 60, you know, I still feel like I could probably hand-to-hand fighting take out
mm-hmm.
a 20-year-old because they don't know how to damn fight.
Mm-hmm.
They're too busy trying to find a gun. You know,
right.
Granted, I studied martial arts, but even not using any of that, I might still win at 60. I only got
right.
one bad hit.
You got a good point. They probably don't know how to fight or afraid to fight.
Right.
You know. And the thing is, you know, I've been in a lot of fights in my life, you know, just I'm pretty sure you have, you know, and I have to admit, I've lost a few of them. But I survived. You know, I had a fight with a much younger guy, and you know, we won a couple of rounds, but in the end, he got the better of me. And then later on, after a few days, we ran across each other and, you know, had a little chit-chat about the whole thing, what had occurred, because it was really over something stupid, to be honest. It really was. You know, we're like, can we be cool? Because we still got to, you know, see each other all the time. Like, yeah, we can be cool. I'm going to be like, no, we ain't going to be cool. Or he's going to be, no, we ain't going to be cool. You know what I'm saying? It was like, all right, we tussled it out. We got to move on. No one had to go to the hospital. It was just a fight. You follow me?
Right.
But nowadays, unfortunately, it has to be, I got to be Superman, I got to take you out, you know, I got to treat you for this, I got to show you you can't disrespect me in that manner to the point that I will kill you. And that's what happens. Now, I'm not saying it's always that same thing. I don't know what the investigations were with these rappers and everything. I'm not saying they all were involved in drugs and everything. I'm pretty sure some may have been drug related, but still, again, it needs to stop. You know,
yeah.
What is it? Triple X Temptation. This was just, you know, the guys who murdered him, Deerfield Beach. Okay. Shot and killed this cat, and I think I saw the video. He went to the bank and was trying to get out like $20,000 of his own money, but the bank was like, "We don't carry that type of money." So he took what he could, and he wound up shot dead. He was only 20 years old. 20, y'all. Technically, he's fresh out of high school. You really think about it. He's not even at the age to go into. He's not even at the age to go into a freaking bar and buy a beer. I'm sure he's been able to do it, but he's not legal in damn near every state in the union to go into a bar and buy an alcoholic drink. Barely old enough to buy cigarettes if he smoked them, or anything considered as adult age. And this guy had thousands of dollars in his bank. And he goes to the bank to try to withdraw some money. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, there's some beef, something goes down. And the money he had on him, I mean, he dead, 20 years old. And again, this is something I really want us to really pay attention to. I mean, you know, this is sad. I'm just naming off a few. Smoke Dog, 2018, 21 years old. Jimmy Wapo, June 18, 21 years old. Okay? Pop Smoke. Yeah. Pop Smoke was killed February 19th. 20 years old in Los Angeles. Yeah, we know about that. I know where he was shot because the thing is, I used to eat at that damn camp when I used to live in California. I mean, this is sad, man. This is sad. Nipsey Hussle, March 31st, 33 years old. Murdered 2019. Los Angeles, California. And every one of these say shot and killed. Not heart attack, not by, you know, some kind of overdose, drug related.
Right.
Every last one of them says shot and killed, y'all. That's a problem in the black community. Used to say that, oh, you're dealing drugs, you're killing our young with selling the drugs. No, we're killing each other now with guns. That's what we're doing. We're killing our own celebrities, our own individuals that young kids are looking up to with guns. What is the reason this is happening? Is there some jealousy because that they're trying to climb a ladder and get out of the neighborhood? Or are some of them still part of the neighborhood in the gangster, you know, organization? Because we did learn that, you know, even in sports, some individuals who get million-dollar contracts are still criminals or are capable of doing criminal acts, right? Hernandez, right? Murder. Ray Carew,
right?
Murder. So we know that still exists. So, you know, we have to look at those things. Go ahead, sir.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I wasn't saying anything. I was just saying,
oh,
right?
Okay.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. And we got to talk about it. We got to talk to the young kids. We got to, you know, we got to let them know that we're, you know, you know, you could be what you want to be, but because of who you follow, just because they're doing something today that might seem flashy and something that like, ooh, I want to be just like them. Tomorrow they might be dead. Because you didn't know what the hell they were doing. You know what I'm saying? You didn't know what kind of beef they were having with other individuals. So you got to be cautious of where you're saying, I want to do exactly what they do. I want to be in the same position that they're in. You don't know what's happening behind the scenes. No, be cautious and guide your own path. Don't try to be a cookie cutter of a celebrity. You follow me? Don't do it.
Right.
And we're going to always talk on these topics. I'm always going to bring them up on this show. We're always going to do some investigating and discuss what's going on here. And I'm going to really reach out to young folks to come on and share the positives that they're doing. I don't want to hear a lot of negatives, even though I hear a lot. I want to bring a lot of positives of young boys and girls that are, you know, have a vision for their future. I don't want to hear anyone say, oh, I want to be a rapper and everything. I'm sorry. If you want to be a rapper, fine. That's cool. God bless you. But no, I want to hear the ones that want to own their, that want to be entrepreneurs, own their own businesses, because the opportunities are out there, you know. They're out there. So that's what we're going to do. Now, real quick, before we run out of time, I'm going to extend it just a little bit longer. I definitely want to talk about this one topic. Sports. Hello. Well, as you guys know, last night the Los Angeles Lakers defeated the defending champs, the Golden State Warriors, to move on to play, the Nuggets, okay, for the Western Conference Finals. It's interesting to me that people say it was fixed. It was rigged. Not just this game alone, but in damn near every sport, people claim it's fixed. It's rigged. And to be honest, there has been many sports that have been fixed or rigged. There was one referee in the NBA. He spent time behind bars because they realized that he was doing certain calls in favor to sway the game one way or the other. Officer Crenshaw, what's your thoughts about it? Because here's the thing also, I'm sorry. There's a lot of folks I know who do not watch certain sports because of these conspiracy theories. They will not watch. I'm like, hey, man, you watching this game tonight? Man, I stopped watching basketball. Why? Man, that shit sticks. I stopped watching football. Why? Man, it's rigged. The fix is in. They got the number. Vegas controls all that. Whatever Vegas wants it to be, that's what they're going to do. They make a phone call, and you don't put your money up there, and they're going to make sure you ain't going to get a dime. Those are the things I hear folks say. Officer Crenshaw, what's your thoughts on sports rigging?
Well, I can't comment on basketball because I'm probably the only black man that can't jump. So I don't watch basketball. But I stopped. I still watch football, but what made me think that it was definitely rigged was when Atlanta went to the Super Bowl and had the lead against Tom Brady. And all of a sudden,
they pulled the players out that was doing what they needed them to do to win. They started putting in other players, and they lost that damn game. How the fuck? That's what made me think, okay, you know what? It's not rigged through the system. It's the owners making their bets with each other. And now you as a citizen can bet on a damn game and win money. So, you know, it's all about that. You know, I still love my Atlanta Falcons. You know, they chirp when they can. But other than that, you know, that game just really made me say, you know what, that whole game was rigged. That Super Bowl was set up and rigged. Because you don't come out blowing motherfuckers away like that and then shut down. I could see if they still had the same players in the game and they were just getting worn out. But they took those players out and put other players in. You know, almost
true.
Like, okay, if you're not going to do what I tell you to do, your ass going to sit on the bench. I'm going to put somebody else in. We want you to lose. We got more money for you losing than we do for you winning.
That's true. That is definitely true. But now, see, we have to remember one thing, though. As you well know, the teams are privately owned. So it's really a chess match between the private owners, right? The only team that is owned by the city is Green Bay.
Right.
And I've heard a lot of folks say that, hey, look, you know, they need to make it where people can, you know, break up this privately owned thing and make it where people can buy into a team or you know, have stock into it. Now, would that be right for the government? You know what, we're gonna take your team away and put it on the market, make it something on the market, right? Would that be right, in your opinion?
I don't know about all of that. I just think they need to go back to old school football to where it was fun. You didn't have all these damn rules and regulations. You know, if your ass was out, I don't care if you was the best player on the team. You know, if you're going to throw a damn hissy fit on the field and take your jersey and your helmet off, then your ass ain't on the team no more. Get the hell on. Go sit on the bench. You know, all this babying these young kids, because that's what they are. They're still young kids, you know, and they want millions of dollars because of, you know, the records that they hold. Well, you can hold a record, but if we ain't winning, you know, I'm going to put somebody in there that's going to help us win. Somebody that's going to play as a team and not an individual.
Hold on a minute. I got someone who was texting me, but I'm trying to see before we get out of here. I just want everyone to chime in and give me your thoughts about, and I want you to hit the number one. Okay, if you come on the board, based on the fact, and what we're talking about is rigged and thick sports. As you well know, the NBA semifinals are going on, and there are people who are saying all sports are rigged. Football is rigged. Basketball is rigged. Baseball is rigged. We do know that there has been instances where some games have been rigged in all kinds of sports, even horse racing and everything. But what are your thoughts about it? And has it made you feel like I don't trust any sport whatsoever? You know, because people love their teams, right? People root for their teams and everything. There is some kind of false things going on. And like you just said, Officer Crenshaw, you know, you got private ownership in basically every team in sports. No one really owns or have investment. No regular citizen has investment in these teams. All we do is spend money to be entertained, right?
Right.
And people questioned even the series just recently between the Lakers and Golden State. Those were like, well, you know that LeBron James is not going to lose, you know, in a semifinals playoff against Golden State, who is the defending world champions. And once you look at that series, it was interesting because one blew out the other. It was a close game in one. The other one blew out the other, you know. But here's the reality is that where they also get paid, okay, their paychecks don't change. Actually, when you go to a certain level in the playoffs, you get a bonus. You get more money. So what's more important, the money or to continue to a championship where after you fight and struggle with this team, now you got to fight and struggle with another team, and then if you get past them, then you got to fight and struggle to win the championship. What's more important for some players? You understand my point? Hell, I want the money. I'm, you know, because some might say I'm still young. Hell, I got time. I got about another 6-7 years in the NBA. I'll get a championship. But if I don't, hell, as long as I get to the playoffs, I'm still getting a great. You know, I have time to negotiate my contract. You know what I'm saying? I know we're not going to make it. Might be the attitude. So, fine. I'll go with the game. I'll go ahead and rig it, or I'll go ahead and miss the shot on paycheck. Is still going to be the same. I'm not being paid based on how many points I made, right? I know it sounds crazy, but
we'll see.
That could be a thought process within this whole conspiracy theory about sports. I want us to continue this conversation in the future as the series go on. In fact, I'm going to bring it up next Saturday. So, because the fact that we know, Lakers will play Denver, Miami will play. Who they have to play? I'll pull it all up. But we're going to follow this throughout the series, throughout the semifinals. I'm sorry, yeah, the conference finals. Semifinals are pretty much gone. The conference finals is next, then the championship. So every Saturday we're going to talk about this particular thing. And, yes, sports is going to be more of a topic, too, within all the time. All right, so, look, I'm not going to keep you guys up. Officer Crenshaw, thank you so much for joining me this Saturday. Again, for all you listeners, the lady of the house, her family is so sweet enough to take her out for early Mother's Day dinner. The one and only Mr. Time and Ship, he's about to hit the stage tonight, so he had to get his rest. But, you know, I appreciate each and every one of them. And, of course, the one and only Miss Denise Bell Wilkerson of the legendary Ladies of the Sky. I know you guys are like, haven't heard from her in a while. Let me tell you guys something. When Sky did that reunion after 30 years, their book has been slapped full with events. In fact, they're overseas right now in England. I can't say England, but in the UK, somewhere in the UK, and they got dates after dates after dates. So God bless them, guys. Keep them in prayer. You know, that's fantastic. You know, that after 30 years, the band got together, and now that Sky sound that, you know, here's to you, call me, all those songs that was loved over the years. People are reaching out across the pond and inviting them over to perform. We need to do the same thing here. Hey, my name is Michael Gay. Thank you so much. Officer Crenshaw, you have one last thing you want to share with the listeners?
Well, I just wanted to know, did I make it to the right side?
All right. The right side?
You know, yeah, I told you I was on the left side at the beginning. I want to be closer to Janet, so did I make it to the right side?
Right. Okay. Yes, definitely. On the right side.
Okay.
And so with that being said,
the right testicle.
The right testicle, right. Okay. Hey, you guys, enjoy the rest of your Saturday evening, wherever you are, East Coast, West Coast, your afternoon, and across the pond, wherever you are that's listening to us on the Worldwide Network, which is Blog Talk Radio, Sunday, tomorrow, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all you wonderful mothers, mothers-to-be. And to be honest, I say this on both Mother's and Father's Day. To some of you guys that have to be mother and father, happy Mother's Day to you too. It's just the society and the world that we live in. All right? That's just my honest-to-God truth. Hey, thank you again for listening in. And, again, tune in next Saturday. We'll be live right here at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time on The Michael Gay Show. I guess I'll go ahead and cue up the closing thing. Yeah. All right. I see somebody just dropped in here. 703 just dropped in here. I think I know who that is, and they dropped in here at the last moment. I'm gonna let them go ahead and hit the number one and just give their opinion real quick before we get out of here. What we were talking about is if sports are, let's say, for instance, rigged, planned, the fix is in, do you believe that happens in every sport? And do you believe that is something that's acceptable with the public abroad? The only reason I'm doing this is because they just happened to drop in the last second. So I'm going to open up their mic, and I think I know who this is. Good evening, Mr. Hopkins. How are you doing? What is your thought on that before we get out of here?
You text me at the end of the show to tell me to chime in. I think that anybody who thinks that sports are rigged maybe getting a little ahead of their skis. The worst that could possibly happen, there may be referees that may be putting their thumbs on the scale. We saw that with the NBA official who came out and revealed that he was actually betting on games. Yeah, John Donald, was it Dougal was his name? Yeah, there may be people that are tipping the scales as far as refs are concerned, but there is no there's no outcome that is actually being predicted in the sport. It's almost impossible to do. I've heard that theory mullied over and over again. A lot of people want to believe that. The first time that I even heard it on a grand scale was after September 11th. They suggested that they wanted the Patriots to win the Super Bowl because it was after September 11th, and that was symbolic of everyone being united and saying that the Super Bowl was rigged because of that. And that was the same year that the Tuck rule happened between the New England Patriots and the Oakland Raiders.
Well, you know, I'm still upset about that. I will never forgive that whole thing. You know, and then, I agree with you on that. But, you know, I'm gonna stick with this conversation based on this topic because we still have a lot of basketball to go. We have baseball starting. And of course, football will come up soon, but there's a lot of rules in sports. There's a lot of things where a lot of folks say that they need to change the rules on this, change the rules on that. Baseball recently changed the rules. If you guys don't know, as how much time a pitcher can spend on the damn mound and just contemplate if he wants to try to, you know, get the guy out at first base who's trying to steal the base, trying to steal second base. They have so many.
That was such a brilliant rule change.
Huh?
That was a brilliant rule change. The pitch count.
Thank you.
And
I agree.
The pitch count. Yeah, that was a brilliant change because the game was too long.
Yeah. So far, they said it's made games almost 30 minutes shorter in time, roughly, you know, because of the fact of where, you know, you standing there and trying to see the guys trying to run from first to second and you throw the ball over there. you know, this and that. It's a waste of time. You're not going to pick him off, you know. And I think they did a thing of the percentage of where they actually pick him off at first base is very low. So anyway, but we're going to definitely do that. But I appreciate you chiming in, Reese. Last but not least, did you believe that the Lakers were going to end the – I mean, did you think that this series would go just to six games, or were you one of the ones who said, no, it's going to go seven because it's Golden State and L.A. to make the money? A lot of folks say they want to make the money.
Yeah. No, I would hope – you know, it's Golden State versus – the Lakers, everyone wanted that Western Conference, you know, sort of to happen. So, yeah, I can totally understand that, you know, people wanted it to go seven. You know, it's just one of those rivalries you kind of want to see develop. So when it doesn't, it's kind of disappointing. I don't know. Who won that series? I'm not watching the West.
The Lakers won it last night.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations to them. Good. I hope LeBron loses. Yeah. I'm so sick of him.
Hey, man, so another topic I want to talk about, the hatred for LeBron. But I'm not going to do it now, you know, because I'm going way over into my overtime. I can do a whole hour if I want to, but I choose not to because it is Mother's Day weekend. But as I said to folks, I appreciate LeBron's talents. I respect him as a player. But I have asterisks on his career in my mind. And so we'll talk about that next Saturday. So with that being said, thanks to my callers. Thanks to Officer Crenshaw. Appreciate you. Let's see, Reese Hopkins for calling in at the last second. And also, let's see, who else is on the board here? Oh, Gwen, thank you for calling in. And also another individual in the BM area for calling in. We'll see you next Saturday. God bless you guys. Have a great and happy Mother's Day weekend. All right, finally, we're out of here. God bless. Peace.
Happy Mother's Day.